Is Money, 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 Money by the OJs. And today we're going to be talking with Diane Vanderhoff of Ameriprise Financial. Hi, everybody. It's Friday afternoon, one of the 10 best days of the year. Weather is perfect. People are walking around with smiles on their faces. And what a better time to talk about divorce and money. But before we get to that, I want to address a couple of points. I set up all of you listeners last week for the easy comment again when I said in my on my show and on my posts that I want to be sexy again. Not one of you took the bait. Congratulations. I want to remind you that we have some future shows booked already. Marina Lombardi, who wrote It's My Divorce Too, Divorce from a Child's Perspective, has a date certain. She will be here on June 25th. And we have a men's divorce coach who will be here the Friday before Father's Day on June 18th talking about dad issues. I still want to do a show on mediation versus litigation, another one on the collaborative law process of divorce, another show on prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. But I remind you, it's your show as well as it is mine. If you have any topics that you would like for me to address, email me at larry@divorcebybloom.com. Call me at 212-964-3502 or call into the station now. You can ask questions of me. You can ask questions of Diane. The toll-free number here is 877-480-4120. I'm happy to introduce my guest today, Diane Vanderhoff. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. It's such a wonderful day out in New York.
Yes. You are from Ameriprise Financial.
Yes, that's right.
And could you tell our listeners what your background and experience is? What do you do?
Sure.
Let's start with that. What do you do?
I'm a financial planner.
Okay.
I've been with the firm for about 4 years now. And what we do at Ameriprise Financial is basically help our clients design financial plans that they can use to achieve their financial goals. A few of the topics that we cover are things like saving for retirement, saving for home purchases, coming up with a plan or strategy for college savings, and you've guessed it, divorce planning as well.
Okay. Well, that's what we're talking about today.
That's right.
We're going to talk about divorce planning for what you do before you get a divorce and post-judgment or after the divorce financial planning to get your finances back in order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please tell us about your background and your experience.
Oh, sure. Personally, I'm from New York. I basically went to school in the Bronx initially over at Bronx Science. I don't know if you know that high school, but then went to school over.
You were one of those smart kids.
A little bit of a science nerd in the beginning, yes. Then I headed over to Barnard on the Upper West Side. So I spent a lot of time here. Actually, the station is right a couple blocks away on 77. So
okay, and you studied
economics,
economics and finance.
That's right.
Okay,
had spent a little bit of time at J.P. Morgan, working with their derivatives operations area. And
what is a derivative operation?
Well, I'm sure you've heard about a lot of the derivatives in the markets. And sort of, working with a team to manage that risk and record that risk on a daily basis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know,
uh-huh.
I am an economics major as well.
I know.
But from a conflicting institution. I went to Cornell.
Oh, okay.
So I was also a nerd.
Okay.
Funny You know what Bill Gates says? Nerds rule the world.
That's true.
So, do you have, when you say you do divorce planning, how does that process usually begin? Somebody calls you and says,
I'm considering a divorce. What sort of financial affairs? What do I need to do to prepare for that? What should I be concerned about? Are there going to be tax consequences on my accounts? Things like that.
Okay, so these are existing clients. So you meet with them face to face. You talk to them over the phone. How do you handle this?
Actually, I do both. Generally, I prefer to meet my clients face to face, at least in the beginning, just so I get a good understanding of what they're looking for. And strangely, I think most of our clients actually like or prefer the face to face meetings. Even some our largest clients prefer to meet face to face. I know some of our clients are really busy and they can't always come into the office, but I think that's the preference.
Okay, good. Now, you're dealing with, I would imagine, with an existing client.
Yes.
You're also dealing with his and her or her spouse as well.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about which assets are preferable, or do you talk about which accounts they should keep and which accounts they shouldn't keep?
Well, yeah, I think there's also a second layer.
What's the second layer?
It's also, okay, so when it comes to a divorce, I think you may want to consider having a team. You may want to consult a divorce attorney.
That would be me.
I think that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, you do want to speak to your financial planner. And then, I think lastly, but also a very, important part of the team would be the tax advisor.
Yeah. The accountant or the tax attorney.
The accountant.
And you have those professionals work together.
Right.
They speak with one another.
Right. That's right. Cause, I think the problem with making one decision without integrating or the two other opinions, there could be some pretty severe consequences. Yeah.
Now, what happens when someone walks into your office and they have a joint account?
Right.
And says, I want all the money in that joint account. What do you do?
See, that's,
or I want to close that account and create my own account.
Well, closing, usually for most assets, closing or selling or, even when I think of things like property, you own things jointly. You kind of have to consult the spouse. But yes, you can move certain amounts of money. I'll give you an example. Joint account, for instance, maybe there's a limit of $6,000 that can be transferred to something like an insurance policy without the other,
the co-owner,
without the co-owner. So to some degree, yes.
There is some protection just in terms of the way Ameriprise has a policy.
Yeah. I would say that joint accounts are tougher though, because, generally both owners actually have access to the account. There's limitations on the most that they can do in a certain day, but there's access. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that you can, a regular bank account, you could just write a check
joint
account and close the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there are built-in protections to stop spouses
doing
the brokerage accounts?
No.
Okay.
But
when we come back, we're going to talk about what protections there are and how it works. You are listening to The Divorce Hour. I'm Larry Bloom, and we're here with Diane Vanderhoff on Talking Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hour. I'm Larry Bloom, and I'm here today with Diane Vanderhoff of Ameriprise Financial Services. Tell me, Diane, let's go back to safeguards and protections.
Right.
Okay, someone wants to transfer the joint account into sole names. Can they do that?
No.
Why not?
Okay, so if you want to transfer from a joint account to if money's going to another account, it actually has to go to like ownership.
So that if means it's in the joint names, husband and wife, it would have to go to another.
Transfer to another joint account. However, since both parties have permissions on the account, you've got to be aware that you and the spouse may have checkbooks, debit cards. Those sorts of things. Checks can be written. Cash can be withdrawn. Under a joint account, you have to be prepared that can happen, yes.
And there are limits on that, or there are no limits on that?
I don't believe that there are. To transfer to a separate account, generally, within our company, like I was mentioning before, if one spouse or someone on a joint account transfers money to a personal account, it has to be under $6,000.
Okay.
Approximately that amount. I can double. I don't want to say it is
but
$6,000,
about that.
But it's about
that.
Yeah. It's not a huge number. Yeah.
Okay. So we're back to divorce planning.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the tax consequences of what? Of liquidating accounts?
Of everything. Of everything. We're talking cost basis on securities, mutual funds, the house that you live in. I'm sure you're. and actually, that the house thing is actually pretty interesting. One of the things that I think people want to consider is that if you're taking into account the cost basis on your house, you may also want to take an inventory of all the improvements that you've made on the house. because that will step up the cost basis. So let's say you've added a new floor, you've
put in a swimming pool.
You've done, I don't know about the swimming pool, but you've done some internal you know, renovations, things like that. That's going to step up the cost basis.
Okay. And what I usually tell my clients is to walk around the house with a video camera so you can see the furniture, you can see the tchotchkes, you can see the improvements.
Right.
That way, when something's not there later on, you have a record of it.
And these could be more than just what you see. I mean, you're also thinking of improvements like, okay, was a new roof put on? Have you changed the boilers? Or have you changed other major parts of the...
And you actually talk to your clients about all of this?
Well, it's something that they don't want to forget. The tax accountant will probably go through
of
and...
Of course, and so will the divorce lawyer,
but
do it as well.
Right. It's an important thing to at least keep the client mindful of. Yeah.
Okay. And you also want to make sure that the person you're talking to has a full set of records.
Right. And it may not be. And the important thing about financial planning is that it's actually fully comprehensive. So when I talk to a client, it's not just the assets that we have at Ameriprise. It's not just their stocks, their bonds, their mutual funds. We're also taking a look at everything, all the assets in the 401k plans, their pension entitlements.
And they may or may not be through Ameriprise.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So we're taking a look at all of those things because actually that's a, you know, the client's assets for the most part may not be at the brokerage house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you do the full inventory.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like a lawyer because that's what I do.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you do this in writing?
When we were doing financial plans, we'll document, we want to, in order for us to make, I think, comprehensive financial decisions, we want to know where all the assets are or, you know, even if they're not with us, if they're with another firm, because it's important. It's important from a cost basis perspective. It's important from an estate planning perspective. So you got to have some record of everything, really.
Note to self.
Yeah.
Subpoena the financial planner. If they have those records, it's a good thing for the audience to tell their divorce lawyer to do.
It's not something that I think all brokerage houses do or necessarily have to do. It's something that we do as financial planners.
Then it's something that the inquiry should definitely be made. And what happens if I'm Susie Smith and I walk in and I say, Bob Smith, my husband, and I have all these accounts. I got a couple in my name. He's got a couple in his name. We got a couple of joint ones. I'd like to see all the statements on all the accounts, including the ones in his name alone. Can you do that? Will you give them that information?
Well, they would be under a group owner, so yeah. So if
the account is linked in some way?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there's no privacy concerns or anything like that?
Generally, see that's interesting because they would be anything that gets mailed to the client will probably get mailed to both spouses because usually the paperwork on joint accounts or householding accounts, it's something called householding. So
and that specifies all the accounts in everyone's
name. Are in the same
name.
Household, yes.
Okay.
And that paperwork gets mailed to the home. And
it says Mr. and Mrs. probably.
Right. And both spouses have access to that information. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what if there's, for want of a better term, an unlinked account? The husband has the profit sharing of his medical practice in an account, possibly even in a limited, in an LLC, a limited liability corporation, or a professional corporation or association. Can the wife go in and look at that?
She may not be able to see that if it's not linked to the household.
Okay, so
okay. So
that's something that they should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
because basically, I'll just give you an example. When we create group accounts, it'll include the husband and wife's assets, anything that's within that group. sometimes a business gets a separate client ID.
Okay, and
so it's almost like the business is a separate client,
like a separate person
potentially, especially if you're like, let's say for instance you have a standard brokerage account just for a business. The business is a client. Basically, the business is a separate identity.
Okay. Now, yeah. I call you and I say my wife has this corporation that has accounts with you. Well, first I say she has this corporation. Does the corporation have any accounts with you? Are you permitted to answer that?
It depends on who's the owner. So if the corporation owns it, I guess it's the answer is no.
Okay.
Client privacy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're aware of it because you know how everything's linked.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's a general rule. So if the client ID happens to be a business or a separate identity, and let's say the business owners are the owners, I have the there's basically privacy rules around that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what is it? All right, so they talk about tax consequences. How else do you prepare them for divorce, either the man or the woman?
Well, we've got to start thinking about have based on the divorce, how does that impact the other financial goals? So,
or the new financial goals.
Right. You know, I think some of the immediate question is oftentimes, well, how does this reflect my retirement, or what's the impact on my retirement?
Cuts it in half usually.
Right. Some of the other things to think about, does this change with the divorce, does this change or impact things like expected family contributions to college, the EFC requirements? And
you're talking
like
about the equivalent of a 529 account?
I'm talking about financial aid.
Ah, you're talking about financial aid, the FAFSA application.
Yeah. Because I imagine that going through a divorce, some of the assets are depleted through paying taxes, or some of the assets are depleted in the process of legal fees, that sort of thing. So that your expected family contributions may change.
And you talk about that with your client.
It's something that they should be mindful of. Yes.
Okay. And mm-hmm. and you raise the particular issues. What other issues do you raise with people looking for divorce planning?
Things like impact to the retirement accounts. Let's say government employees or employees of corporations. What are the medical impacts?
Medical insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
So. If medical insurance is a concern, or something that's being paid by the spouse or one of the spouses right now, going through a divorce, one of the questions you have to prepare yourself for is what happens to those medical benefits? Is that something that you have to start paying for out of pocket, or is it something that's covered through the employee's company?
So,
I guess you're
a soup to nuts financial expert.
Yes, and then here's the other question: does that plan still cover the kids after the divorce?
We're going to talk about that when we come back. Please call in with questions for Diane or for myself. Again, the number is 877-480-4120. This is the Divorce Hour on Talking Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you suffering from aches and pains? Why not treat them naturally? Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti from Rapetti Wellness. Treat your aches and pains with natural methods at Rapetti Wellness in New York City. For more information, please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183. We look forward to hearing from you.
Are you confused by all the new gadgets that appear to be coming out almost on a daily basis? Is the new iPad for you? Should you be buying a PC or a Mac? My name is Jim Blue, and I make technology understandable. My phone number is 917-921-4518.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. And how can I ever change things? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? You can go your own way.
Go your own way. A perfect divorce song. Thank you, Giorgio. If we sound good today, it's because Giorgio is making us sound good. So, again, kudos to my good friend Giorgio. We are back here on the Divorce Hour talking with Diane Vanderhoff of Ameriprise Financial. I forgot what we were talking about. We talked about the protections. I think we finished that. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
One thing I was going to mention before was the quadro.
Okay, good. That was my next subject.
Yes.
Now, that for the non-lawyer, non-financial person listening, a quadro is a qualified domestic relations order that is commonly called a QDRO or a quadro.
And it's actually a really, really good piece to know about. It really impacts your bottom line when you think about this. Let's say, and you may want to talk to your attorney about this in detail, because basically if the money gets, if you have a quadro in place.
Okay.
And
quadros can be used for pensions. They can be used to divide up a brokerage account for.
It's all qualified money.
Right.
So,
and qualified basically means that you're not paying taxes on it now.
Yes.
Okay, that's what the word qualified means.
Okay, so here's an example, I think we have a couple of good examples on this.
Okay.
But generally, if you've got a quadro and you've got these qualified assets where you haven't paid any money, it protects the first spouse who owns them, because if they should have to split any of the assets, that spouse should not have to pay taxes on the split money.
Okay.
Let's say, for instance, you have to, for the reasons of a divorce, if you have to divide any of those accounts, and one portion goes to the other spouse, the money does not get taxed to the original owning spouse.
And just so everyone understands, that doesn't mean you never pay taxes on this money. When you actually take it out of the account and have it in spendable form, if you have it, it's taxable then. If your spouse has it, at that point he or she will be your ex-spouse, will pay taxes on that. So it's only tax deferred. It's not tax exempt.
That's correct. But what the quadro does do is that it helps, let's say for the receiving spouse, they do have to pay taxes upon the receipt of that money. If they take it out of the qualified account,
right,
and they spend it, they're paying taxes.
So now what we're doing is we're putting it from one qualified account into another qualified account.
Well, not necessarily. It could be going from one qualified account to, let's say, the other spouse's checking account. They would have to, if they do that, they've got to pay taxes on the money. So let's say they receive money from a spouse's 401k, and suddenly they need to pay the mortgage with that money. So instead of going into a qualified account, it goes into a checking account.
And that would come in as regular income, fully taxable, as if you,
yes,
went to work and earned that money.
That's right. But the benefit of the quadro is that you avoid that 10% early penalty. So if your spouse happens to be under 59 and a half, this is a way for the receiving spouse to avoid that 10% penalty.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That one I didn't know.
Yeah, it's money, 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 money.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Money, 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 money.
That's what's important, yes.
Okay. Husband is a one-man operation. He has a profit sharing, or what they used to call a KEO plan, okay, with Ameriprise. And I imagine that you have your clients diversify.
Yes.
So there's some in bonds, there's some in risky stock, there's some in safe stock, correct?
Yes.
So I would want the stuff that we bought high. I would want the assets that we bought high so that my capital gain when I take it out.
Well, see, that's a good question, right?
So what do you give advice on that?
Yes. I want to say this. You always want to consult the tax accountant.
Of course.
When you are considering things like cost basis. That's going to be the accountant first and foremost. But inside of a qualified account, cost basis is irrelevant. You got to remember, all that money is tax deferred. So let's say if you put put $100,000 into that money, or into that a qualified account, it's never been taxed. So cost basis is totally irrelevant.
Okay,
so you can keep all the stocks you like.
I can, well, I don't know.
You can keep the ones you've owned. Basically, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. You get a court order, it's actually called a qualified domestic relations order. It's an order of a court signed by a judge.
Right.
Do you just whack up half of the value and give it to each side? Or do you specific assets?
Well, you want to have the clients involved. Yes, because it's including your advisor on that, in talking together about which assets are going to be split, or I think if we want to talk about going 50-50 on certain assets.
Well, would you go 50-50 on every asset, or would you say, okay, lady, you get all the Apple stock, mister, you get all the Microsoft stock? I mean, is that the way it's done, or is it 50-50 on the Apple, 50-50 on the Microsoft?
I would actually pay attention to the court order on that. I mean, if it's something that specific, but I try personally to involve both parties.
And so the listeners are aware, when there's a qualified domestic relations order, they have to be approved before they're signed by the judge, by the administrator at, let's say, Ameriprise. I believe we have a caller. We have Joanne on line one. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
Fine.
Thank you for calling in. Do you have a question for me or for Diane?
Yeah, my question is, does it really matter in a quadro what your basis is? Because it's all income taxable anyway, so why would you worry?
That's correct. That was my error, because I was leading up to my next area of questions, which would be in a regular account. And we're dealing with basis.
But you are correct,
and I'm wrong.
Joanne, you're absolutely right that in the qualified accounts, it makes no difference, because the money's never been taxed. And when it gets when it comes out,
right,
it gets treated as income tax.
Okay, but
it gets taxed as income.
Income tax
rates.
Yes,
there you go. That's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But again, one of the questions with the qualified assets are, which assets in that qualified account go to which spouse? Is there a way for one spouse to get the ones they want and the other ones to get the other ones?
Here's the thing with that. Even if you had to split, some of the stock, it's a non-taxable account. So even if you had to sell the stock, and let's say, for instance, if you really liked a certain stock or Apple stock, whatever it was, if you really liked that stock, you could buy it back.
Okay.
Because there's no cost basis involved. So if I sold it today and I bought it today, same time, it should be washed.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it should be pretty close.
Okay, fair enough. Joanne, do you have any other questions?
I have a general divorce question. Should I save it for another time?
No, ask now. I'll be happy to answer.
Okay, the question is, husband and wife, they don't plan to get divorced. The husband owns an apartment and came into the marriage with the apartment. Does he lose anything divorce-wise putting it in joint name?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yes, he does. He, if you put it in, first of all, assets that are in joint names are assumed to be marital assets. Anything that is acquired in either name during your marriage is presumed to be a marital asset.
Even if the transfer occurred after the marriage.
Right. But the things that he owned and didn't commingle, that he owned before the marriage and didn't commingle, that's his. Now, there are certain, let's say it's a house, and we're going to talk about Diane and her husband, and I know she doesn't have a husband. Okay.
That's a good plug.
Diane. Thank you. Diane moves into her husband's house, who what was owned before. The house was valued in 19, I don't know, pick a year, at $100,000. And over the course of time, that property increased in value. Now, mm-hmm. that increase in value may be subject to property distribution on a divorce, regardless of whether there's been a change in the title or not. If there's been a change in the title, you're probably going to wind up with getting 50% of the whole thing.
Even though it was separate property.
Even though it was
separate
property because it was commingled and it was deemed to be a gift, an interspousal gift.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Joanne.
Okay,
call again.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
So, Diane, there are a regular account, okay? Mm-hmm. I just hit the Mega Millions,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Sure.
If my wife is listening, I really didn't hit the Mega Millions. But if I hit the Mega Millions and I put money into an account and I maintain that account with you for 10 years, it's just a regular joint account, or it's only in my name. It really doesn't matter. When it comes, and that account has stocks, it's got bonds, it's got, you know, risky stocks, it's got mortgage-based stocks, it's got everything. And the court order says, divide that account. And it's not a qualified domestic relations order because it's not a qualified account. How is that account divided in-house by your company?
I imagine it'd probably go down the middle unless there's some sort of agreement between the spouses.
Okay. And
unless there's agreement between the two owners. So,
okay.
So if the wife wants something in particular, her husband agrees to that. Let's say she's less risk aggressive and, you know, unless there's something specific in writing that's telling me you've got to split every asset down the middle, then.
So it would be a good idea for for the parties to talk with you together.
Yes.
To figure out which assets they want.
Yes.
And that's something that you do.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, that's something that we do with our clients anyway. I mean, irrespective.
Well, you're always telling your client. You're always telling your clients about how risky you want the investment to be.
Right. Right. I think, you know, it's something that husband and wife on joint assets, you probably want to discuss on the joint assets, how much risk are we willing to accept together?
Okay.
So it's a question. It's a question during a divorce, but it's also a question whenever, really.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about something off the air. We were talking about a Q-tip, and it's not something you stick in your ear.
It's not made out of cotton.
It's not made out of cotton. What is a Q-tip?
Okay, so a Q-tip is interesting because me and Larry, we actually were talking about what happens after a divorce and what sort of protections do you want to put in place on your accounts for when you move on. So basically, it is the kind of trust that, let's say there's a new wife or a new husband, new partner. And you want to provide for the new partner. What this kind of trust provides is actually income to that partner for the rest of their life, but it gives you some control over where the assets eventually fall.
So what you're telling me is that's usually the equivalent of what lawyers call a life estate, and then the rest of that account upon the death of the surviving spouse, wife number two, if you will, would go to children of the first marriage or go to whoever the husband wants?
Yeah, it's the actual name is qualified terminable interest property. And
sounds like a revocable trust, correct?
Nah, it's not quite the same. This is actually something that's come up for me for new partners and that are not even married. So let's say we've gotten two New Yorkers, or, you know, it's pretty common that after a divorce, there's two partners who live together, joint accounts. They're not even married. But
how dare they?
No, not that it's a bad thing. But
it's not good for a divorce lawyer.
But it's something that you've got to think about in terms of where your assets, if you'd like to leave assets to your children from your first marriage.
And we're going
to
talk about that when we come back from the break. More on Q-tips. Go to the bathroom, take out your Q-tips, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Astray, and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
When love goes away. Before we talk about when love comes back, and we'll talk about planning for remarriage, Let's finish up with the Q-tip conversation. What else was there that you wanted to tell me about Q-tips?
Okay, so there's a lot of people who might be interested in why a Q-tip might make sense for them. And here's a few. Okay, so let's say you have a concern that upon your passing, that your spouse ends up marrying someone else after you.
How dare she?
You may want to control the assets to some degree with the Q-tip trust, if that's something that's a concern for you.
Okay.
If you're concerned about your assets benefiting someone else's children.
Fair enough.
If you are concerned that your spouse may have creditors that may go after the joint assets that you have together. And then last but not least, if you think that the surviving spouse might be either vulnerable or perhaps not financially savvy about how to maintain those assets.
Okay.
But ultimately with the Q-tip, it's the income will go to the surviving spouse or partner, but the
principal will stay at home.
The principal can be determined as far as where you'd like it to go. So like, let's say for an example, if you want it to go to your children together, maybe the beneficiaries are the children from the relationship, where the income is actually still the spouse or the partner.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And that income can basically be paid throughout the rest of their lives.
And the income can be, not necessarily the income, but it can be a stipend.
You
get a particular amount each,
right. So,
each month.
Right, so that basically that you protect your interest, because if without the Q-tip, really, once the assets pass to that second spouse or to the new spouse, you've lost control over how that spouse decides to leave the assets or their estate plan.
Which is why if you are going to remarry, you need a prenuptial agreement.
That's right.
Actually, if you're going to get married,
you may want to consider that, yes.
If you want to get married for the first time, you should probably have a prenuptial agreement. Because let's face it, I know this will be on my show on prenups. Your marriage is going to end one of three ways. Either you're going to die, your spouse is going to die, or your marriage is going to terminate. You're going to get a divorce or an annulment. So a prenup will deal with each of those three contingencies. I do not believe there's a fourth way for your marriage to end. I have just been handed a question, so I'm going to... I think it's more for me than it is for you, but I'm going to ask, does a prenuptial agreement hold up in New York State? The answer is usually. Usually it does. There was a case that came down May 13th from the Appellate Division in Manhattan that addresses certain retirement benefits which are addressed in a prenuptial agreement. And the law has been that you can't agree in advance on how or you can't waive in advance an interest in a pension under ERISA, because that can only be done by a spouse, and you're not a spouse until you get married, which is why under those circumstances, you might also want a postnuptial agreement. Now, you want to remarry. What do you do?
Okay, so there's a couple of things you want to discuss with your new partner.
Okay.
All right, so it's probably time to be open and honest about your finances.
That's a good thing to do in a marriage.
Disclosing things like your credit score.
If you know your credit score.
I think it's freecreditsreport.com.
It's not free.
Well, it's worth it. Okay. I would say it's something that's pretty important to know.
Okay.
You know, if you plan to get married for a second time, you want to know if a spouse, if their credit's going to affect your credit, or if perhaps you want to keep your credit separate. So maybe you decide not to have things like joint credit cards because you want to preserve the credit score of the new party.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say you're marrying somebody who has great credit score and you just went through, because they went through a divorce a decade ago and your credit score is down because you went through a divorce 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I think generally you're looking at least 7 years. you know, okay, to repair that credit. And
do you help people?
No,
in terms of that's outside of your expertise.
No, yeah, we don't have access to things like credit reports, but okay, but certainly you can work on improving that credit independently.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, I guess one of the things, joint ownerships and what you may want to consider if buying something with a new partner.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know of one family, you know, where the kids kicked out wife number two after husband slash daddy died and didn't give her an opportunity to even live a month in the in their marital home, which was owned by him and hence passed to his children.
That sounds like a Q-tip in place.
Interesting people.
Or some sort
I knew the husband.
Or some sort of...
I knew the wife.
Right.
I knew wife number two. I did not know wife number one. And...
That what it sounds like is that there was some sort of estate guidelines put in place. And they had the right to do that.
Well, either they had the right to do that or they just never addressed the new husband and wife never addressed that issue.
Right. But, you know, even with a lot of these legal terms that we're talking about, again, you want to have legal counsel, you know, advise you as far as, you know, even if some of these things actually really make sense for you. We at Ameriprise, we definitely make our clients aware of the options that they have, but they definitely should talk to legal counsel before jumping into that.
And accountants as well, I would imagine.
Exactly.
Okay. So, wife winds up with assets in her own name. She has never addressed... you know what? I want to change this hypothetical. Husband winds up with assets in his own name. The wife always did the financials. She was your contact, Diane. Now, the husband who has, you know, is an artist and just knows that the money's there. Do you continue on with the husband?
Well, it depends. It's really that partner's choice.
Oh.
So it's a big concern. You know, you definitely, at least as a financial advisor, like I sort of work with both. I want to meet both partners. I want to have a relationship with both partners. But at the end of the day, it's really that person's decision.
Okay. And they're splitting up at this point. So now the ex-husband artist who doesn't know anything about money, do you educate them?
I make a, if that person suddenly becomes my client, yes. I mean, that's my obligation. I think as the advisor on the account is really to be responsible and to take ownership of
that. So basically you're having the same conversation you had with the moneyed spouse, the one who was managing the accounts.
Right, and there's some things that might change, like risk tolerance suddenly may change. Let's say that the spouse, the husband was very, let's say husband or wife was a more aggressive investor, and then perhaps the second spouse is not. Then perhaps we have to change the account to accommodate that person's wishes.
Diane, this has been very interesting. And I hope that you will come back again.
I'd love to.
Okay, we will definitely
It's been a lot of fun, Larry.
Oh, good. We'll set that up. And I want to remind the listeners that if you like what you hear, don't keep us a secret. Tell your friends. Tell all your friends. Forward me your email lists or forward to them my emails announcing the show. Call in. Thank you, Joanne, for calling in today. Thank you for the anonymous question on prenuptials in New York State. Thank you. What we need is your input. Make sure you listen on June 25th. Marina is a lovely young woman. She's now 18. I spoke with her on the phone the other day. She wrote the book, It's My Divorce Too, Divorce from a Child's Perspective. It will be the only time I will tell you. Have your children listen. Have your children call in. Marina has graciously agreed to take on any and all calls. We look forward to having you listen. Please email in with suggestions on show topics, things you want to hear. If you have questions, call us. If you have questions that you don't want general listeners to hear, call Diane. Diane can be reached at...
You can reach our office at 212-681-0240 or meet me directly. My office line is 917-472-2686.
And that's Diane Vanderhoff. Thank you, Diane. If you have questions of me personally that you don't want to hear on the air, I'm at 212-964-3502. This is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom. Thank you for listening. These podcasts will be available, as are all the podcasts of my show, at talkingalternative.com.